Don't look now, but fishing is once again upon us, or will be really, really soon. And when I say fishing, I mean all sorts. Some folks are likely already hitting local spots hard with rod and reel, and getting out nets isn't but a few weeks away. If I was smart, I'd be organizing my own tackle box, remembering my resolutions about keeping my angling momentum going from last year. But I haven't done that yet, and probably won't for several weeks yet. It's also a good time to be thinking about swapping out old line for new line on your fishing reels, and getting whatever gear ordered up if you haven't already done so. So, I wonder if fishing tackle is in short supply too, like with ammunition and things pertaining to firearms. I haven't heard and have no idea. Hopefully not, though it sure seems like there's a whole lot of stuff in short supply right now. It's surely not the year to be building a home, but I digress. Long, long days, agreeable weather, and the part of the calendar that promises a lot of fish is most certainly right smack dab in front of us again. Today, let's consider something related to angling, something I do a lot of myself when I happen to get out and fish. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Visitor Services Manager for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. Perhaps you're familiar with the term catch-and-release fishing. Maybe you're even an ardent practitioner. Maybe not. Irrespective, it is today's topic. It's something that's on my radar, professionally and personally. For work, I get to talk to kids about it during our float camp, at least when we have a float camp. Stupid COVID. And then personally, I have shared on here that pike is pretty much all I eat, fish-wise, locally, so everything else gets put back in the water. And when I do put it back in the water, I want to do it in a way that the fish is unharmed and lives to see another day and, perhaps, gets caught by someone who is looking for a meal. Catch and release wasn't always my lot in life. I certainly had never heard of catch and release fishing over the course of my childhood. In fact, I likely didn't hear that term until college, or maybe even after. My friends and me, we were ardent devotees of catch and keep and fry and eat fishing, which is way, way over at the other end of the spectrum. The idea we would turn loose a perfectly good bass or bluegill frying pan candidate, and the requirements for that were very loose and often fluid, was simply preposterous. So went my first 2 decades or so on this earth. Catch, keep, fillet, fry. Rinse and repeat. It's been said that age brings with it wisdom. Or circumstances change. Keeping fish I don't like the taste of, and it kind of looks the same as wisdom. As such, let's consider catch and release fishing today. I am guessing a whole lot of you listening are catch and keep and eat sorts, so today's episode may have zero bearing on you. As such, why catch and release? Catch and release fishing, angling is actually the term you'll hear a lot more associated with that, has actually been around for over a century, that is, specifically as a fisheries management tool. Catch and release is used to bring sustainability to dwindling fish populations and also to keep the balance in places that already currently have stable populations for different species. In many places, the number of anglers has continued to rise each year, putting increased pressure on existing fish populations. Catch and release provides an angling option while promoting the health of the population. Catch and release fishing is something that's strongly supported across many areas by many wildlife management agencies, such as the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the National Park Service, and the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. It's worth noting that in some locations, catch and release is mandated. As such, it's always best to check into existing regulations for any body of water you plan to fish. To perhaps explain it a little better, here's a blurb from a National Park Service brochure. Why catch and release? The National Park Service strives to maintain park resources in a natural, unaltered condition. Native fish contribute to nutrient recycling and help maintain natural ecosystem processes when they live out their entire life cycle, from spawning to death, in the aquatic system. Catch and release fishing improves native fish populations by allowing more fish to remain and reproduce in the ecosystem. This practice provides an opportunity for increasing numbers of anglers to enjoy fishing and to successfully catch fish. Releasing all native fish caught while in a national park will ensure that enjoyment of this recreation opportunity will last for generations to come. Please understand, I'm not saying release everything you catch. Again, for many of you listening, this may seem like a frivolous idea. As long as regulations allow for it, if taking fish home to cook and eat is something you like to do, then by all means do it. But awareness is never a bad thing. If there is even a single fish that you're going to put back into the water, it's not a bad idea to know how to do that in a way that allows for the highest probability that the fish will survive. Here's a few things to consider. Ripping out a hook and lobbing a fish back into the water is likely not going to result in a successful catch-and-release event. Many of the aspects to practicing catch-and-release fishing properly come down to common sense things when you consider that the end result is to return the fish to the water in the best possible condition to live and swim again. The key is to avoid excessive fighting, damage, and handling. Here's a few guidelines. You can find a lot of this same information in places online, and I encourage you to Google the topic to learn more, if that's something of interest. It all starts at the hook. Single hooks are better than treble hooks, and barbless hooks are better than barbed hooks. In some places, single hooks and or barbless hooks are mandatory, neatly removing any amount of decision by the angler. Some of the key elements to catch and release fishing include: use tackle appropriate to the species to minimize fighting times, use needle-nose pliers to aid in unhooking, and leave fish in the water while unhooking and releasing to avoid unnecessary handling. If fish are removed from the water to snap a photo or to remove the hook, try to make sure they're handled in the following way. Avoid using landing nets when possible. If a net must be used, try to have one that has netting designed to minimize damage. Avoid touching the fish with dry hands or dry surfaces, or putting them down on dry surface, such as the bottom of the boat or the shore. Never squeeze the fish or rip the hook out. Avoid hanging fish from their jaw, mouth, or gills. Hold the fish horizontally. Support large fish with a second hand under the belly. Minimize time out of the water. For example, try to keep it to 20 to 30 seconds or less. Support the fish gently upright in the water until it swims away. If your catch is exhausted from a long, drawn-out fight, special care may be needed. If the fish seems unable to swim, do the following. Place the fish in the water gently, supporting it midsection. Move it back and forth gently until you feel it start to swim under its own power. To summarize, catch and release fishing is a very good and productive management tool when it comes to maintaining the health of a fishery. Unless specified by existing regulations, that does not mean you need to practice absolute abstinence. Only you can decide what's right for you. A few fish for the frying pan are, for many folks, one of the best parts of the experience. So, eat and enjoy. But also consider being properly equipped to release any fish you didn't plan to catch, or that you are required by law to release. For the health of our fish populations and the future of our sport fishing opportunities, it just makes good sense. I have come a long way since the catch and keep and fry eat days of my younger years. Here in Alaska, most of my fishing ventures these days involve a whole lot of release and not a lot of keep. I am happy enough with that evolution. However, whether you plan to keep and eat or send them back into the water to live to fight another day, our fishing days are just about upon us. As always, get out there and have fun. Be safe while you're there. And here's hoping for tight lines for those of you who fish. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.